This is part four of our series in Proverbs called Everyday Wisdom, and we're really, really going to get very practical tonight. So let me mention a couple of things. We're going to cover a lot of material tonight, so if you miss anything, don't worry about it. It's all on the website. So all the notes are there, exactly what I'm sharing with you. So let's begin by turning to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 20. And I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "He who deals wisely and heeds God's word and counsel shall find good." So when we make up our minds that we're going to pursue the wisdom of God, and we make up our minds, I'm going to do what the word says, the Bible says that you'll find good. How many of you like to find good? "And whoever leans on, trusts in, and is confident in the Lord, happy, blessed, and fortunate is he." And so if you'll remember last week, we talked a little bit about wisdom being a person. If we read from Proverbs chapter 8, how wisdom is described as the one who was with God when he created everything, and it goes into great detail. And of course, we know that that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that wisdom is a person, wisdom is not a thing, and that we need to pursue wisdom as if it is the Lord, and go after it, and then implement wisdom into our lives. And here's one other thing that I want to encourage you with, and that is this: trust wisdom like a friend that stands beside you. So as you're reading through the Word of God, look for wisdom, and then learn how to lean on the wisdom that God gives you, the wisdom that comes from His Word, like a good friend that stands beside you. Now, one thing that you need to understand about friendship, and we'll talk about this a little later on, not tonight, but in maybe the next week or so, about what Proverbs says about friendship, but if we're going to treat wisdom like a good friend, then we need to be prepared for wisdom to be able to speak into our lives. You know, so wisdom can give us direction. Wisdom can bring correction. And so let me show you this one scripture that's in Proverbs about friendship. It says this: "Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy." You know, when you're in a great, strong relationship, you know, there are going to be times when you're going to disagree. There are going to be times when your friend needs to say some things to you that you might not want to hear. I tell you, if you got a friend, a so-called friend, that all they do is flatter you and try and pump you up and all that type of thing. There's other words that the world uses I won't use, but they do that all the time. They're not really your friend. Your friend will tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. And so wisdom is going to be that way to us. And wisdom is going to be so honest and it's going to speak to our hearts. And like the scripture says, it's going to hurt sometimes, but it's a good kind of hurt. How many of you know that when you go to the doctor or you have to have some type of surgery, there's cutting that's involved? And thank God they put us out. But, the cutting is necessary in order to facilitate some type of healing. Well, sometimes the word is going to cut, but you have to understand that it's for the purpose of bringing us to a better place. Can I get an amen? All right. So wouldn't you rather have a friend tell you the honest truth than look you in the face and lie to you all the time and tell you what you want to hear? I know I do. All right, so wisdom is going to be brutally honest and brutally frank. And the reason I say that is because you need to approach Proverbs and the whole word. You know, sometimes some of us approach the Word of God like it's the cafeteria. You know, I want a little bit of that. I don't like that. I don't want any of that. I'm going to take some of this. No, I don't really want any of those vegetables. Let me get down to the end where all the good desserts are. Well, you know, the Word of God is meat, vegetables, all the stuff we may not necessarily want to eat, but we need to eat. And then there's some desserts with it. But you need to understand that sometimes wisdom is going to cut. And so be prepared for that. And just know that God, if He brings correction into your life, then it's always for your benefit and to make us better. All right, so let's look at a scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Now, let me say this before we read these verses and kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. I am not going to be talking about any of you until we get to the last part. All right? So just know that what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes is for somebody else. All right? Nobody in this room. And so just store it away so that if you encounter anybody that's going to meet these categories, you can help them. All right? But the good stuff is for you guys at the end. All right, so we'll get to what applies to you at the end. So here we go. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Solomon said this. He said, go to the ant, you sluggard. See, that's none of you guys. None of y'all are lazy people. That's what a sluggard is. I just want you to be equipped in case you run into any lazy people, all right? So go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And so the scripture is talking about people that are lazy. Again, that's none of y'all. But we need to look at these things so that we're aware. Here's what I believe. I believe that in some cases, for us personally, us entering into God's highest and best for our lives, you know, I believe it's some very, very small things that trip us up. You know, Jesus said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And you know, sometimes I believe that we're one adjustment away from being able to enter into God's highest and best for our lives in a certain area. And so we're going to talk about some of these things. So, you know, lazy people, and I think we probably all have encountered lazy people in our lives. And, you know, there are some people who are night people. There's some people who are morning people. You know, I'm not a morning person. You know, and I hate those who are. And so, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not a morning person. I tend to be a night owl. Now, when I was younger, it was the reverse. But now that I'm a little bit older, I can stay up later and do a whole lot more, but I guess because of the quiet or whatever. But, you know, there are some people who get up in the morning and never really get out of bed. What I mean by that is, and you might know of some people that, you know, they get up, they go through their day, and all they can think about is getting back in bed. And literally what I mean is that they might get out of bed physically, but they're attached to it all day long. And there are people that are constantly, throughout their day, controlled by this sensation or this feeling, this thought that, oh, I got to get some rest. I got to get some more rest. And I'm not against rest, but, you know, you do have to function during the day. And so look at this verse in the book of Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 14 says this, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. Now I want you to think with me, how does a door turn? It goes from side to side like this. Well, Solomon said a lazy person that doesn't want to get out of bed, all they do is flip from side to side, just like a door does, all right? And so, you know, a door may move, but it's still attached to its hinges. And the point being is there are people who move through their day, but they're still attached to that need or that feeling, I gotta go back to bed. And so, you know, we need to be people that get things done. I believe God's people ought to be some of the most productive people in the world, all right? And so there's the person, this is describing the person that doesn't get any work done. They just sit and stare at work all day long. All right, again, that's none of you guys. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 again in verse 11. We read it in the New King James a little bit ago, but I want to read it to you out of the King James. This verse 11, he said that a lazy person, he made reference to, so shall your poverty come as one that travels and your want as an armed man. And I want to stop for just a minute and help you understand what he's saying. And the reason that I use the King James version there is because the word that's translated travels is actually a very, very good translation. What it means is, for somebody that has a tendency to be lazy, poverty doesn't come on them all at one time. Poverty comes on them as one that travels. How do you travel? And think back in Bible days. How did they travel? Most of the time it was on foot. They were walking. How do you walk? You remember the Christmas special that we used to watch where you said, put one foot in front of the other? You remember that? How do you walk? You walk one step at a time. Well, what he's saying is that poverty does not come on people all of a sudden like a boulder. It comes on you one step at a time, little by little. And then he said that want is going to come after you like an armed man. When, you know, what you have to imagine is somebody getting robbed who is absolutely defenseless, has no means of defending themselves when a robber comes up and they're armed and they hold you up. What's happening is as people go through life, poverty is slowly but surely coming on them, and then their want that's never met is always like that robber holding a gun to their head and saying, give me everything that you've got. All right? And so that's what the lazy person is like. And so what I want to teach you tonight is this, and that is the greatest asset that we can have in life to build prosperity God's way is having the attitude of hard work and diligence. Hard work and diligence. Again, I know that's all of you guys. Now, here's one thing that I want to qualify in saying this, and that is this. The diligent person is not a workaholic. Diligence and workaholism is not the same thing. I used to think it was, but it's not. Being a hard worker and a smart worker go hand in hand, but being a workaholic will kill you. What I mean by that is sometimes we need to work smarter than we work harder. And so God's wisdom will help us with that. And so the diligent person is not a workaholic, but is a smart worker. And so God will show us how to be more productive. And so, again, I want to go back to Proverbs chapter 6. In verse 6, it says this, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. You know, when you read verses like this, you have to stop and you have to think about what is being said. You know, if you've ever studied an ant, and, you know, when I was a kid, I used to dig around in ant hills, and so I, you know, can identify with some of this. But the ant knows how to work hard, but also knows how to work with elements that will help it be more productive. All right? In other words, notice what it says. It says that the ant provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. When is food available? In the harvest time. So what we have to do is we have to learn how to work smart and be diligent and work smart at the same time. And so a diligent person knows how to put his best into his future. You put your best effort into your future. You are sowing every day into your future. And so a diligent person always has that in mind to where, you know, sometimes our culture and our society, it's all about living up for today. And I'm all about enjoying today, but we need to have a mindset that what we're doing is we're working towards our future. Well, somebody says, but you know, I thought Pastor Jesus was coming soon. Well, he is, but that doesn't mean you don't work towards your future. You know, I've had people or heard people, and you know, years ago, and we talked about this one night where there's people, you know, that actually will put a date to when Jesus is coming back. And don't ever believe that if somebody does that, because here's what people do. They do that, and then they go out and run up credit cards and all that kind of stuff because they think Jesus is coming back before they have to pay the bill. That's stupid, all right? Because what's going to happen is Jesus ain't going to come, but that bill is, and you're going to have to deal with it, all right? And don't go crying to God, asking God to help you pay your bill, all right? Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you 7 attributes of a lazy person. Again, none of you guys, I just want to help you identify somebody that might be in your life that you can help, all right? 7 attributes of a lazy person. Here's number 1. A lazy person never rises high in authority. What I mean by that is a lazy person never goes above a certain level. So look at Proverbs 12:24. It says this, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The Message translation says this, the diligent find freedom in their work, the lazy are oppressed by work. And so what I want you to see is that we have the tendency to put the emphasis on education and all that, and all of that's important, but never diminish what diligence will do for you in your life. You know, and we have to get out of the mindset, and you know, no matter what our background is, you've got to get out of the mindset that somebody owes you something. The truth of the matter is, nobody owes you anything, okay? And so we have to work as though, you know, we're, of course, with God's help, we are going to take care of our future, we're going to take care of our families, and we're going to move forward in thinking about our life being better. So going over and above the norm is what will produce promotion. What scares me about society today is there's kind of a mindset that's creeping in is let's just do the minimum that we need to do. and that will never get you anywhere. The Bible teaches that. So going over and above the norm is what will always produce promotion. Now there's a scripture that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. He said this, he said, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You ever heard the phrase, go the extra mile? That's where that saying came from. And let me tell you why that is there. In Jesus' day, when Rome had occupied the Holy Land and was in Israel, the Roman soldiers had this thing where in any area that they were in control of all over the empire, that if a Roman soldier was carrying his full load, which could be upwards of 100 pounds of gear and all that stuff, you know, and his belongings and his pack and whatever, that he could stop and get one of the local people who was there to carry his stuff for him because they were a conquered people. And so this would happen on a day-to-day basis. You know, if the Roman soldiers came marching through, a Roman soldier could stop and grab you and make you carry his stuff for a mile. And so what Jesus is saying, now he's not telling us to let people take advantage of us, but what he is saying is, if somebody comes and asks you to do something, don't do the minimum, go the extra mile. Go 2 miles instead of one. So when that Roman soldier's expecting you to hand his stuff back to him, say, no, I got it, I'll go another mile for you. And so what I'm saying is in our day-to-day activities, on our job, and all of that, always go over and above because that is where promotion is going to come from. Number two, a lazy person always irritates those in authority over them. If you've ever been a boss, an employer, you can say a big amen to this. Okay? So a lazy person will always irritate those who are in authority over them. And so let me read to you a verse out of the Good News Bible, Proverbs 10:26 says this, never get a lazy person to do something for you. He will be as irritating as vinegar on your teeth or smoke in your eyes. Now, I've never had vinegar on my teeth, but I have had smoke in my eyes. And smoke in your eyes, you remember, thank God they stopped this, but back in the day, you remember when you could smoke in restaurants? And I don't know why they thought in a room like this you could have a smoking section and a non-smoking section. There was no such thing. That smoke just went everywhere. And after a while, your eyes are running and, you know, you're teared up and you're bloodshot because it's irritating your eyes. Solomon said that's the same way that a lazy person will do to somebody that they answer to. All right? Here's number three. A lazy person always has good intentions, even many desires, but no initiative. Oh man, I've heard people, you know, that, I really want to do something with my life, or I really want to do this, or I really want to buy this, or, you know, all these things, and they have good intentions, and they really desire a lot. And so you ask them, you know, it might be somebody that you talk to and then you haven't seen them for a while and you bump into them again and you ask them, hey, have you done so-and-so? Well, no. Not yet. Well, how come? Well, you know, just haven't. Well, that's what this is describing. A lazy person always has good intentions, even many desires, but no initiative. Look at Proverbs 13:4 says this, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now, we'll talk about that. See, you guys qualify for the second part. All right? Not the first part. But the soul of the lazy man desires. In the Message Bible, it says this, indolence or laziness wants it all and gets nothing. The energetic have something to show for their lives. People that produce always have something to show for their lives. Okay, so look at this verse in Proverbs 21:25. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Listen, if there are things that we want to accomplish in life, there's only one thing that's going to get it done, and it's W-O-R-K. I thought I'd at least get one yes or something, but it is absolutely the truth, all right? We have to work hard sometimes, all right? Here's another thing. Number four, the lazy person receives, they do not take care of it. All right? Again, I'm not looking at anybody in the room. This is for people that aren't here tonight. So, you know, you see a lazy person that goes and buys a brand new car, and then you look at it a few months down the road, and it's dirty, and, you know, and I'm like, okay, why? Just, you know, you don't even have to get out of your car. Just drive through the car wash. Do something. Take care of what God entrusts to you. Here's a little principle here, and that I'll tell you this. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't give us better. It's because we won't take care of what we have. Okay, praise the Lord. So we have to take care of it. Look at Proverbs 12, 27. This is an interesting scripture. It says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. The lazy man, he goes out, he works hard, he obtains something, and then when he gets home, he doesn't do anything with it. I mean, just doesn't take care of it, doesn't regard it. The lazy man doesn't roast what he took in hunting. That'd be like you going deer hunting, going out and killing a deer, and then why? Because you don't do anything with it, all right? So we've got to be diligent. Now, I want to show you several verses from Proverbs chapter 24, and let's look at this. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says this, I went by the field of a lazy man. Now notice, we're talking about a lazy man. The latter part of that verse says this, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So Solomon likens somebody who doesn't understand stuff, who doesn't have wisdom, to a person who's lazy. Verse 31, he says this, and there it was. So here's the field. I saw it. It was all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it, and I received instruction. Then he goes on to say this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty, this sounds like Proverbs 6, but so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So we see here that Solomon tells us, I went by the field of a lazy man, and everything was overgrown. It had not been taken care of. Everything was just a mess. And then when I saw it, I considered it well. Now, I don't mean any disrespect for this when I say this, okay? But why is it that a lot of times when you go to areas where people aren't doing as well in life as some others maybe, why are their yards always a mess? There's trash everywhere and stuff like that. I don't understand that. And, you know, so what we're really talking about here is a mindset. It's an attitude that we have to adapt. You know, how many parents do you know that would just keep piling brand new toys on their kids when their kids won't take care of the toys? I know that wasn't true when I was growing up. Man, if I broke stuff, forget getting something new, all right? I was going to be getting hand-me-downs from my brother. And so, you know, if parents are that smart, then, you know, how much is God that way, all right? Number five, and this one you're probably going to be able to identify with or know somebody. Lazy people are always bouncing from one crisis to another. Lazy people are always, now this isn't always the case, but, you know, and some of you guys might remember the old song on Hee Haw. Don't tell me y'all didn't watch Hee Haw. All right? You know what'd you say? Yeah, all right. You remember the song they used to sing, if it was not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know, there's a lot of people that think that way, that think, you know, life is just happening to me. I'm poor old me, victim, victim, victim. When a lot of times, and I understand stuff does happen to people, but when I've seen people's lives and they go from one crisis situation to another crisis situation, and you step back, not judging, but you just step back and you look, you can start seeing a pattern, and you begin to see that there's an area of their life where they're lazy. And you know, listen, all of us have encountered, you know, difficulties and challenges. You know, one thing I love about you guys, and I've developed this in myself, I'm a survivor. You know, I've encountered hard times. You know, there were times when I was younger, I'm talking about way back when, you know, I was 19, 20, 21 years old, and, you know, that was just 2 or 3 years ago. And so, you know, there were times when I did not have a whole lot of money. And, you know, of course, let me say this, a lot of it was my own fault. If it wasn't, the majority of it was my fault because I didn't know how to take care of money and manage it. But, you know, maybe I'm going to hit a nerve when I say this. You know, there were times when I would go and dig underneath the car seats trying to find change so I could buy gas. Now, this was back when you could buy, you know, a gallon of gas for less than a dollar, all right? Or, you know, trying to scratch up enough money so I could go get gas. And I had a Volkswagen at the time. Somebody said, a what? A Volkswagen. And, you know, you could fill up my Volkswagen for less than $10 at the pump. And so, you know, you buy $2 or $3 worth of gas back then, it'd last you for a minute. And so, you know, there were times. But here's the thing is I made up my mind in those situations. Okay, I'm tired of living this way. I'm going to do something. Either I'm going to get another job, I'm going to do something so I can fix this. Instead of staying in it and going, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? And so lazy people oftentimes bounce from one crisis to another. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 19. Interesting scripture. It says this, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." Now let me explain to you what he's saying here. For those of you who, maybe you girls don't understand this, when I was a boy, you know, we used to play army. Any of you guys played army? Okay. And we'd run through the woods, and you know, if there was a path that you'd be running down, you know, there might be thorn bushes all around you. Well, you know, if you were familiar with the path, you knew how to dodge and not get caught up in those thorn bushes. But woe be unto you if you ever did, all right, because it was painful. What I want you to see is that what happened is, if there was a thorn bush over here and you got caught in it, guess what you did? You jumped out of that thorn bush, moved over to this side of the path, and if there was one over here, you hit this one too. And if you hit that one, then you bounce out and you come over here and you get caught in this one. And what I'm saying is, and what Solomon is saying is, that a lot of times lazy people go from crisis to crisis to crisis because of what they're trying to maintain, a life of laziness. And so Solomon is telling us, but the way of the upright, the way of people who are diligent, is like a highway. And I'm glad that that translation uses that word highway. It doesn't, don't think interstate, all right? Think of a high way versus a low way, because that's the correct translation. A higher way avoids all of the things that are on the side of the road, so you're not running into that stuff all the time. So a diligent person, somehow God elevates them so they're able to run on a track and on a path that you don't run into stuff as much. Now, life does happen, but you don't bounce from crisis to crisis to crisis. All right? Again, we're not judging anybody, but, you know, the fact of the matter is that you can live a different life than that. Now, here's another one. Lazy people, number six, are great wasters. Lazy people are great wasters. All right? So, you know, again, that's none of you guys, but Proverbs 18:9 says this, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." Listen to the Message translation of this. "Slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism." Ouch. Okay? Slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. Again, none of you all in here, but you might know people on your job that are slack on their job. You know, that's just like going into that workplace with spray paint and a sledgehammer and busting stuff up and spray painting stuff you have no business painting. Doing sloppy, living a sloppy life in that situation is the same thing as vandalism according to that verse. So slothful people have a tendency to waste a lot. Here's number seven, and then we're going to get to the good stuff. Number seven is this. Slothful people always have an excuse for their laziness. It's always the other guy. You ever notice that? Lazy people, it's always the other guy, okay? And I love these verses from Proverbs. Anybody ever run into somebody that it's never their fault, okay? How about, you know, the person that's perpetually late to work? And you know, it's never the fact that I wanted to stay in bed a little bit longer so I didn't get up in enough time to go to work. It's always the traffic. It's always that idiot in front of me. It's always somebody else's fault. When the fact of the matter is, if you had gotten up when you needed to get up, there wouldn't have been any hurry to get to work. Praise you, Jesus, all right? See, they always have an excuse. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. It says this, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter, and if he refuses to do that," you know, "I can't go out and plow right now, it's cold." Okay? Well, guess what? You're going to be begging during harvest and you're not going to have anything. Here's another one. The lazy man, I love this one. The lazy man says, "There's a lion in the road. There's a fierce lion in the street. I can't go mow the grass today because there's a lion outside." Okay, no. All right? I know, we might have tried something like that where yard work is concerned, but it doesn't work. All right? All right? Here, look at the Message translation of that verse. Loafers say, "It's dangerous out there. Tigers are prowling the streets," and then they'll pull the covers back over their heads. So I told you, Proverbs can get right here in your face, all right? So again, you know, the lazy person always has an excuse. Now here's what I want to do. I'm going to spend some time tonight as we begin to wrap this up talking about diligence. What is diligence? Here's the definition of diligence. Diligence is when you and I apply constant an earnest effort to accomplish something. We don't quit. We don't back down. And we're diligent at it. We're consistent at it. And we apply effort moving towards a direction. And we want to head towards something. And God is all for that. You know, there's a misbelief that maybe some of us have. That if I just pray, God will take care of everything. And He does. He does His part. But you and I have a part to play a lot of times too. Now there's some times where we need a miracle and we need God to do something for us. But let me tell you something. There are going to be times where God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to be diligent. All right? So let me tell you some things that the Bible promises those who are diligent. Here's number one. The Bible says that the diligent will rise in authority. In other words, diligence will help you get that promotion. Now, and I want to say this to you, all right? And please understand this. The promises of God, like this one right here, never say anything that it's going to happen by next Friday. Okay? And I think sometimes we get caught up and we want it tomorrow, all right? Instead of going to work a job and being patient on that job, doing our very best. And no, here's what you need to understand is that if no man is paying you any attention, God is paying attention to what you're doing. Proverbs, or Paul rather, wrote us in the epistles, he said that you don't work unto men anyway, work as unto the Lord, because God sees what you do on our jobs, in our lives, and all of that. And so we need to understand that even though it might not happen tomorrow, and even though we might not be getting a bunch of attaboys from the guys at work or our leadership at work or whatever, understand this, God is aware of what you're doing. And He has the final say. And so, and I've seen this happen before, maybe you have too, where you've been on a job and there's somebody that is in a position to control a promotion or something like that, and they just absolutely will not pay you any attention or refuse to give you what you're entitled to or you rightfully should have because you have worked hard for it. Guess what God will do? He'll move them out of the way and put somebody else in there that will observe you, or He'll move them out of the way and just promote you up. All right, so God has the final say, and He will take care of you. Look at this translation of Proverbs 12:24. It says this, "Work hard and become a leader, be lazy and become a slave." Okay, so or always be working for somebody else. I believe, and not everybody's called to do this, but I believe that there's a lot of people that really ought to be running the companies that they're working for. And if we would work hard, we would be diligent about what we're doing. And again, I remember I told you that being diligent is not being a workaholic. Being diligent is working smart and working with the ability of God to help you. I believe that you will get promoted and you will become a leader. All right? Number two, listen to this mindset. The diligent are always looking at things to see how they can cause it to work and produce for them. The diligent are always looking at things to see how they can cause it to work and produce for them, instead of asking the question, how can I get out of this? Okay? You get an assignment and I don't mean to keep harping on our work, but that's typically where we are able to produce things. But you get an assignment at work, instead of trying to figure out how you can get out of it, start looking at it with a little bit different attitude and seeing, okay, what can I do in this particular opportunity and make this thing work for me instead of me trying to get out of it? All right? So again, it's all about having this mindset. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. We could stop right there, close our Bibles, and go home, and you have gotten a promise from God right there that ought to be able to carry you through from now until Jesus comes back. Good planning and hard work will lead to prosperity. If you want prosperity, I've got the formula for you. Good planning plus hard work equals prosperity from God. All right? But hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And let me say this to you. There is no such thing as a get-rich-quick thing, plan, whatever you want to call it. All right? There is no such thing. Proverbs talks a lot about that. We're not going to look at that tonight. But you need to understand that there are two things that cause wealth and cause prosperity to come into our lives. Actually, three. He gives them here. Planning, hard work, and then there's a third one called time. Okay? You work those three, and I promise you, at some point in your life, you will experience prosperity. All right? Anybody, is that helping anybody? All right, number three, okay? Diligence will bring you before kings and rulers and those in authority. And I'm not talking about brown nosing. Okay, I said I wasn't going to say that at the beginning of my time, but I said it. See, y'all made me say it. No, what I'm saying to you is you're working hard, you're focused on what you're doing, and like I said, if the person that should be paying attention to you is not, God will make sure that somebody does. All right? So diligence will bring you before kings and rulers and those in authority. Look at this verse from Proverbs 22, verse 29. Do you see any truly competent workers? Let me rephrase that. Do you see any diligent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. All right? I can show you example after example after example from the Bible of people that this happened to. Let's talk about the man named Daniel. Maybe you're familiar with him from the book of Daniel. He was a prisoner of war, essentially. King Nebuchadnezzar came in and took a whole bunch of young, sharp people, college-age people, captive, took them all the way back to Babylon, which is now modern-day Iraq, made them prisoners, made them serve in the king's court. Well, Daniel didn't sit around and go, why is this happening to me, Lord? You know, like that song from Ehaw I mentioned a while ago. You know, he put his nose to the grindstone, got focused, and the Bible says that everything he set his hand to, God blessed it. And what ended up happening is it got the king's attention, and the king ended up making him his right-hand man. All right? Think about Joseph. You know, what if Joseph, in the book of Genesis, had gotten bitter, been out of shape because his brother sold him into slavery, and just shut down and went into victim mode? Yeah, he got taken down to Egypt, got put into Potiphar's house, was minding his own business in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife accused him of raping her. He went to jail, stayed in jail for 13 years. I don't know about you. I don't know if I could do that. For 13 years, be in jail for something I didn't commit and then come out, you know, with a great attitude. That's what he did. But here's what happened. While he was in jail, he kept his heart right, kept his attitude right, did what it was expected of him, and excelled in what he did. And God blessed him to the point where the warden at the prison put him in charge of the whole prison and all the prisoners. And the Bible says that the warden, he wasn't called the warden, but that's essentially what he was, he'd go away and just let Joseph run the prison. A prisoner. I'm talking about prisoner number 01, whatever his number was. He put him in charge of the whole thing. And so God saw to it that Joseph got promoted. And you know the end of the story, how he ended up interpreting the dream, minding his own business, did the very best that he could, was being diligent, and ended up second in command of all of the nation of Egypt. And not only that, God used him to save another nation called the nation of Israel. So diligence will do something for you, and it will put you in the attention of people that need to see what you're doing, all right? Number four, diligent people are prepared for the future. Diligent people are prepared for the future. How many of you know life happens? Okay, but when you're diligent, according to the Word of God, when life happens, you are prepared. All right? You heard Reggie and Tish a few weeks ago talking about the seven baby steps to debt freedom. And you remember the first baby step was you need to save $1,000 for an emergency fund. Well, you know what that $1,000 is for? Is because Murphy's Law happens, and it happens to all of us. And when Murphy's Law happens, if you're prepared, no big deal. Okay? Let me show you what the Bible says. In Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 through 27, he said this, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." Now, let me equate this in modern terms. What he's saying to the people of that day was, know the state of your affairs. Know where your money is. Know how much money you have. Know if you owe people. Know what is going on in your life and know those details. For riches, verse 24, let me go back. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. See, money's going to come and go. But if you are prepared, it won't matter to you. You'll be in good shape. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. Look at this. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of the people that work for you. So what he's telling you is when you constantly know the state of your affairs and you know where your money is, where it's going, and I love what Dave says. He says, you need to be in control of your money. And so when we're in control of our money, we can make money work for us. And I'm telling you, making your money work for you is a whole lot better than you having to work for your money. Okay? And so when we're prepared for the future, life can happen and it's not devastating to us. All right? Now here's the big one I wanted to get to, and I saved this one for last. How many of you are ready for this one? All right? Here we go. Number five, wealth. Everybody say wealth. Will pursue the diligence. Wealth will pursue the diligent. How many of you would like to have wealth chasing you down? I would. Okay? All right? And I'm doing my best to experience that. You know, so wealth will pursue you. Look at verse chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes, everybody say it, rich. Okay, that's not a dirty word, y'all. Okay? God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more than enough. And He promised us that if we are diligent in our lives, that wealth will pursue you. I've got another verse for you. I mean, this is extra. It won't cost you anything. This is Deuteronomy 28 says that when you obey the Word of God, that God's blessing, the actual Hebrew says, God's blessing will chase you down, tackle you to the ground, and overtake you. I could use a little bit of that in my life, where God's blessing is, I can't get away from it. That every time I turn around, God's blessing is coming on my life, overtaking me and chasing me down. And so what I want to do, am I saying that everybody in this room is going to be a billionaire? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying to you, to all of us, is that if we are diligent and we give God our very best, we give people our very best, and we are focused, laser focused on obeying what God's Word says, God has said that wealth will pursue you. I read an astounding, and I've read it before many times, but I read it again in I'm right at in my yearly Bible, reading through the Bible every year. I'm right through the point where Solomon was, you know, got on the throne and so forth. And they were talking about how silver was so plentiful, it had no value. The guy was attracting, because of his obedience and his wisdom and his diligence to do what God told him to do, he was attracting so much silver and gold that silver had no value. Had none. They said they were just scattering it on the ground because it had no value. I mean, I don't know what silver's going for now, but it's a lot. I can tell you right now, it's got a lot of value. All right? So what am I saying? I'm saying don't be like the lazy folks. Be like the diligent folks and let God do something in your life. Amen? Let me pray and pray over the Word. Father, thank You for the Word that we've heard tonight. Thank You, Lord, that we are diligent people. That, Father, we focus on You. We focus on Your Word to obey Your Word, to carry it out in our lives. And, Father, we're diligent on our jobs. We're diligent in our households. And, Father, I thank You that You see that. You bless it. And, Father, You cause us to excel. Like the Scripture says, Father, You cause us to move into leadership positions. You cause wealth to chase us down. And, Father, we thank You for that because You're good and Your mercy endures forever. And, Lord, we wouldn't be anything without You and what You help us to do. Father, we love You. We give You praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.